This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email me. We're live. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you have questions, inmate who robbed a gang of 176 kilos of cocaine has a loaded gun inside his New York City prison cell. What would you say the guards are doing around there? Exactly. You know, I've got actually a couple buddies who are guards at, one there's a guard at a jail. The other one's a prison guard, a corrections officer, whatever you want to call them. They tell me, they said, Jesse, you know, there's some great people who work with them, but they say it is such a corrupt profession. It just, they don't make any money. You don't make any money doing that. So if somebody's offering you a little extra cheddar to slip in a cell phone or a loaded gun, apparently that's something you can make happen. Dear Dr. Jesse, whether we still have the greatest military in the world is coming into question more and more each day as the communists in charge put their stamps on the armed forces. He goes on to list a bunch of different things. Now, understand this is what we have right now, and this is where we're going. Right now, we still have superior equipment and superior supplies to everyone else. We haven't had a talk like this in a while. Let's remember something. That old saying by a Marine is very, very true. Amateurs study tactics, professionals study logistics. It's extremely true. It's not sexy, but it is true. Combat, why America, do you know why we won World War II? The real reason? I know what you're thinking. You're picturing the Marines hoisting the flag on Mount Suribachi or those airborne guys going in over Normandy. And yes, yes, the bravery is unmatched, and the war doesn't get won without those guys. The real reason we won World War II? Our manufacturing base. If you ever feel like nerding out, or just pick up an old World War II book and they'll explain it, it's staggering, staggering. How America's economy, because we were this free market economy with just endless manufacturing here, how we just basically turned on a dime and all of a sudden, instead of cars, we're making tanks, we're making fighter planes, we're making bombets, bombers, bullets, we're making food, endless supplies of food. Our guys, as Americans, we had all the ammo we could ever want, all the food we could ever want. All that equipment I mentioned, it all gets damaged because you're fighting somebody who's trying to damage it. Okay. I mean, the loss of life is terrible, but that bomber doesn't come home for us. Not a big deal. Got some more coming. Got unlimited amounts where that came from. Germany, Japan, every other country fighting, they had limits. You would eventually run out. Japan studied because they knew that there was a potential conflict coming with us. So Japan studied our manufacturing base here. And there are lots of great sayings about that. One of them, I think it was Yamamoto, who said, anyone who's seen the oil fields of Texas or the auto plants of Michigan knows you're not going to win a protracted war with the United States of America. That's basically him saying, you know, I know what it is. But they did a bunch of studies of our manufacturing. One of the studies flat out said, America's manufacturing capability is actually not quantifiable. We can't even give you a number. They came to their own government and said, it's unlimited. What do you mean it's unlimited? How many planes can they make? Yeah, as many as they want. No, but hold on. But there has to be a limit on the bullets. Nope. Also, as many as they want. You can't win that. Part of what we're missing right now, we talk all the time, not going to go into it right now, about the purge of the military, about how the real hardcore war fighters, they're getting out or they're not joining, and we're going to get stuck with the military full of a bunch of weak, vicious communists. This is happening right now. It's happening very quickly. But we don't talk about America destroying its own manufacturing base by this going green genocidal insanity. how the country, you can't just, if another world war were to break out, and obviously it will at some point in time, that's just history says it's a fact. If another world war was to break out, you can tell an auto plant, an auto manufacturer, hey, start making me tanks instead. But you know what you can't do? You can't point to an empty lot and say, build me an auto factory. It doesn't work like that. Either the manufacturing base is there or the manufacturing base is not there at all. The next war that comes along, the big one, God forbid it happens in my lifetime, but the next big war that comes along, there aren't going to be unlimited missiles and planes and tanks and ships and bullets and food. Those things are going away. And the craziest thing is we've done that to ourselves. It's just, man. Jesse, you always say history shows that a right-wing dictator is going to arise and be welcomed by the right, and it won't be good for anyone. You say history points this out. I've never heard you give a historical example of this. I may have missed the show in which you did. Could you give us a history lesson that shows this happening before? Thanks so much. It's got to be new, Chris, right? Got to be. No, that's okay. I'm not insulting. We prefer, we like new listeners too. Okay, so let's understand this. Before we focus on left or right, when I say that there's going to be a right-wing dictator come, understand there's a basic philosophy. Well, one something I believe in all the way. Society is always seeking a balance. If things get out of whack, society will attempt to balance itself. You're seeing a lot of this now in America. Okay, 10 years ago, to be a liberal or a leftist or something like that, okay, they want taxes higher than we do, and all right, they're more pro-abortion than we are. I'm not discounting either of those things. Taxes matter. Abortion obviously matters a lot, but that was, I mean, that's one of those things that was the difference in it. You can look at those people and say, I disagree. I disagree strongly. I don't think it's the right way. But you're probably not going to look at that person and say, okay, this person is a violent psychopath who's trying to destroy the country. You wouldn't say that 10, 15 years ago. Now, the major children's hospitals of the country are taking teenage girls in and carving chunks of flesh from their forearm so they can form, I'll let you use your imagination, and attach it to themselves. Okay, that's the society out of balance. When you go that out of balance, society will inevitably, in horror, seek a balance. The person who's going to eventually come to balance that might not be somebody who wants to give up power, and it might not be somebody who balances that the way you want it balanced. I mean, you tell me what I want done to those people. Okay, here's what I want done. I want the hospital shut down completely. I want every doctor or nurse who takes part in this arrested, put on trial for child abuse and child mutilation, and I want them thrown in prison, and I want the state itself to ban these surgeries. That's what I want. Now, you say, Jesse, that's extreme. I can't believe that. No, the extreme guy is going to line these people up against the hospital wall and shoot them. I don't want to live in that kind of country. I think that's terrible. But that guy is coming. If Republicans don't grow a spine now and begin to take aggressive action with this kind of endless filth, then eventually someone is going to fill that vacuum, and he may not fill it in a way you like. You want to see doctors thrown out of helicopters? If you don't get a Republican Party with a spine now to dig in and restore the balance that society seeks, if this loser, low-T GOP, can't restore that balance, then you're going to get somebody coming along who you just might think, uh-oh, maybe we chose wrong. Society after society has had to go through this. You choose to right the ship now, or someone's going to come along and he's going to right it in ways you don't like. That's why I warn about the low-T GOP all the time. That's why I'm so hard on them, because I see what is coming if they don't buck up. And what's crazy is they think I'm the monster. these Republican senators in Congress complaining about me to their friends. Oh, Jesse's too hard on us. Oh, Jesse wants us to toughen up. Buddy, I'm the nice one. Don't you understand? I'm the nice one. The mean one's coming, though, and he's coming because of you. That's why you all need to start taking male vitality stacks from Chalk, because every single Republican needs a 20% increase in their testosterone levels in 90 days. Every one of you do, because you're all embarrassing, and you're all going to bring about the monster. You are. While they do that, you do the same. Go get yourself a male vitality stack, fellas. Ladies, get a female vitality stack. Go to choq.com, promo code Jesse, gets you 35% off the whole store. choq.com, promo code Jesse. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show. Sincere
misery in the house. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'm going to answer the history question. We're going to do a little bit of history there because it was a good question. Then we're going to get to more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. So again, societies seek a balance. The question was, I say a right-wing dictator is going to arise. I can't find anything historically. All right, let's do a few of these then. Let's do a few of these. Set aside right-wing, left-wing. You know who Julius Caesar is. You're at least aware of the name. You're aware he got assassinated. But let's talk about the movement. You know how I've talked about how Trump is a system disruptor? When you have a corrupt, rotted system, system disruptors come along. Well, Rome was a republic, not led by a monarch, very much against a monarch. Rome was a republic led by the Senate. And stop me, please, if any of this sounds familiar, not that I think any of it will, but it was run by the Senate, and then the Senate and the business class ended up really joining forces to import mass amounts of foreign slave labor to crowd out the working class, and then they began to engage in open corruption as they themselves refused to live by rules they put on normal people. None of that sounding familiar at all, right? None of that sounding familiar. They disenfranchised veterans. None of this could happen here, of course. The Roman Republic became a corrupt state. All of a sudden, a movement arose, a populist movement. They were actually called populares. It didn't start with Julius Caesar. It started with others. And they were almost always, remember this, and this will the same thing will happen here. We like the working man, you know. We like normal working people. But almost always, the leaders will arise from high society in some way, either generals or senators or rich people, just like Trump. Trump's a billionaire. But he arose and spoke for the working people. Well, various rich people, senators, rich people in Rome, they would rise up and say, this is ridiculous. We're crushing the working man. We're crushing the veteran. What are you doing? This is wrong. This is corrupt. This is wrong. And the Romans would smash them and eventually just kill them. They kept killing all the populares. They would eventually become mobs and they would murder them over and over and over and over and over again. They murdered them until eventually one came along that was more capable than the ones before him. Julius Caesar, one of the most talented human beings to ever walk the planet. I mean, you could argue Julius Caesar is a top 10 writer and top 10 general in the history of mankind. He's just an unbelievable human being with huge intellect like me. Just what, Chris? No, seriously, just a huge intellect. And he was just simply better, faster, bolder than they were. And he came along and took over the entire country. Now, that was society seeking a balance. Yes, they killed him, but then the emperors were there to stay. By then, it was too late. It had changed. Now, let's go to some place like Chile. What, Chris? That's how you say it when you habla. Anyway, Chile. Chile was a place, it had gone through all kinds of change since the European powers like Spain had been kicked out, and then they were trying to figure out who they were, what kind of government they were. But there was this real communist movement rising in South America at the time, South and Central America. And eventually, with much less than 50% of the vote, a communist took over. Allende was his name. And because he's a communist, he immediately set about destroying Chile. He would nationalize the banks, foreign investment left. It was every communist disaster rolled up into one. Well, people wanted their country saved. They wanted it all to stop. And this is what I keep warning about over and over and over again. Here, they eventually turned to a man named Pinochet, a general, to lead a military revolution against the government to stop communism from destroying their country anymore. And I bet you money, right now you're sitting there cheering and saying, yeah, woohoo, looks good. Okay, look, you believe what you want to believe. You know they really did throw people out of helicopters, right? You know that they took a communist musician and they pulled him into a room and then they broke all the bones in his hand and then made him play guitar with a broken hand and then put out cigarette butts on him. Now, if that stuff sounds ugly, it's because I want you to understand this gets ugly. I want you to understand this is why I'm so hard on the low-T GOP we have now. Because somebody like that is coming. He is coming. There's only so much of this people are going to withstand, and then they're going to choose their own monster.
But anyways, as I was saying, if we really want a change in this world, we have to kill white people. We have to start killing them. Otherwise, there will be no change at all. They will continue to do what they do, and they will be entitled about it and spoiled.
Because it is our obligation.
Communists have been murdering people on the right now for 6 years in this country. On top of the vile street communists murdering Trump supporters for 6 years, the federal government has decided that you are a terrorist, a domestic terrorist, an enemy of the state for what you believe. And they're all whooping it up and having such a good time right now. Woohoo, we got the FBI, we got the street scum. Oh, look, there's another kid we can mutilate. Life is good. We could just wallow in our endless demonic filth and we'll crush the right and there's nothing we can do about it. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy it while it lasts. Because the history of the world says society seeks a balance. I don't want anybody thrown out of helicopters. I think that would probably be a really ugly thing. So as a result, that's why I constantly harp on the GOP to start taking much more aggressive anti-communist action now so we never end up with that guy. If you would like more right-wing dictators that rise, a great one is Franco. If you want to point out what I believe is coming here, Franco was a great example of it. Same thing in South, that happened in Chile. Communists couldn't control their demonic mental illness, and Spain is a traditionally Catholic country, and the communists, of course, hate God and church, and they hate whatever traditional religion is there. Like in China, they went after the Buddhist temples. Remember, you have to worship the communist god. And so not only were they destroying Spain's economy, they were crucifying priests on the altar and gang raping nuns. And again, they're demons. That's what communists are. It's a demonic religion. And eventually they turned to a general, a very capable general named Franco. And they said, hey, can you go kill all these guys for us, please? And he did. He did. It's coming. Keep mutilating children in this country and it's coming. Keep murdering Trump supporters and it's coming. Keep telling half the country they're enemies of the state and something like this is coming. I don't want something like that to come. So I think maybe instead of, hey, low taxes, guys, maybe we could get a GOP that actually speaks boldly, boldly about cultural war things, boldly about the FBI, boldly about you and the state declaring war on you. All right. Somebody actually wants to talk about the Super Bowl, what it's like being a huge world-famous author, fossil fuels, even though we're not supposed to use that word in other things. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Jesse, my friends think I'm crazy, but I'm willing to bet the Super Bowl halftime we'll have drag queens or trans people. What do you think? Oh, you're 100% right. If this year's doesn't, next year's most definitely will. Of course. Remember, there's no bottom. There's no bottom. We act like we're good. They're going to hit some bottom, and then it'll stop going downhill. You're dealing with spiritual forces here. It is a never-ending black hole of descent until they are stopped. They will never stop on their own. This never gets better. You think it's bad now that you'll have trans people at the Super Bowl halftime show, that it'll be displayed in the Super Bowl halftime show? In 10 years, you'll have pedophiles out there at the Super Bowl halftime show. There's no bottom. 10 years after that, they'll be out there with the dogs they're dating in the Super Bowl halftime show. There's no bottom. Demons are never going to wake up one day and say, I think we've been evil enough, guys. Honestly, we're done, right? I mean, I don't know about you. I'm tired of being evil. I'm done. That's not a conversation they're ever going to have. Jesse, I agree with your dad that you're no Hemingway, but you have a lot of loyal fans out there. Any way the communists let your book become a New York Times bestseller? In the event they do, how much will you enjoy calling yourself a New York Times bestselling author, Jesse Kelly? Can't wait to buy your book. That's from Heath. Okay, I actually found out something about this. Remember, I've never written a book. I've never written a book ever. I have now. We're touching it up now. It'll probably come out June, July of next year. Don't worry, I'll keep you posted on it. I'll tell you all about it when it comes. But here's something I didn't know. You want a little inside baseball stuff on best-selling books and how they determine that stuff? One, yes, the New York Times is obviously a wretched publication, and it's a big deal to be on the New York Times bestseller list. And they obviously try to crowd people on the right off of that list. However, I found this out. There are ways that basically make it unavoidable for them. They have to put it on. They can't leave it off. They have books. I'm telling you what I just found out. Okay, so I'm not the world's expert. There are pre-sale of books. Okay, let's say my book was coming out 1 month from now. What is the date today? September 23rd. Let's say October 23rd, my book was scheduled to come out. Well, basically now you would be able to pre-buy the book. You'd be able to buy the book ahead of time. Every book that is sold with the 1 month of pre-sale and the first week of real sale, those are the sales that determine if it goes on the New York Times bestseller list. You understand what I'm saying? I know it's weird, Chris. It's your first week. Apparently, we should do this live on the air or something like that. Apparently, after 1 week, you sit around waiting for an official phone call from, I guess, someone at the New York Times, and they call and they tell you, hey, your book's number one, your book's number 10, your crappy book didn't make the list, right? And so you don't know, right? You're not going to be tracking it. So apparently that is the deal. Now, I had a talk with my guys about this. I said, obviously, for the same reasons you can imagine, I said, I don't think the New York Times is going to put my book on the list. They said, it's all going to determine how much we pre-sell the book, how many people pre-sell it, because if enough people do that, they can't not. And I know that's not an actual sentence. They can't avoid you. So, look, maybe the book will suck. I don't know. I've never written one before. I wasn't sure, didn't want to write one at all. They brought up the subject to me, and immediately I fell in love and said, oh, yes, I need to write this book. I look at it now, and I love it. I love it. I can't believe how much I love it. I wasn't sure, and then when we put the finishing touches on it, I looked at it, and because I'd gone through it again, and I thought, man, alive, I love it. But maybe you hate it. I mean, maybe it'll suck. I don't know. I think it's really cool. I think it's really cool. I think you'll enjoy it. Don't worry. I'm not selling you a book yet. You can't even buy it yet. It's not even out for publication. That's how it works. That's how that New York Times bestseller list works. It's the 1 month before when you can pre-buy them, and then the first week it's actually out where you can buy them. I'll keep you updated on all that stuff. I don't know. We'll see. Look, I don't know if it's going to sell 50 copies. I don't have any idea. And I'll be frank with you, I should probably have asked somebody this. I don't know how much money authors make on books. I genuinely have no idea. If you told me right now that I was going to make a nickel for every book that was sold, I would say, yeah, okay. If you told me I was going to make $20 on every book that was sold, I would say, yeah, okay. I don't have any frame of reference whatsoever. So it's not like I'm banking on the money or something like that. It's a message that needs to get out there. Wrote the book. See if it sells. I don't know. Like I said, maybe it sucks. Maybe it's awesome. Who knows? Dr. Jesse, I work for a Fortune 500 company. I answered a request to volunteer to become a DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion liaison to help make my company an even better workplace in regards to diversity and inclusion. The guy says, ugh, what advice would you give me as I embark on this journey as a conservative DEI liaison for the company? Thanks for all you do. Show is great. Your logic is sound on how to deal with these people. One, I can't tell you how much I love that you have infiltrated their thing. This is something the communist has done so successfully for so long. They take our stuff and they infiltrate it. You know, half the churches in this country suck. Half the churches in this country suck. They're wretched communist trash because the communist didn't look at the churches and say to himself, oh, that's their thing. Now, let's not get involved. No, they took over the seminary schools. They've got all these idiot pastors out there now, all this crap out. So I love that you're doing what you're doing. Just remember, you got to stay undercover because the second they sniff you out, you are in deep, deep, deep trouble. I don't have any specific advice because I've never had to sit in a DEI meeting, nor will I ever be sitting in any DEI meetings. But I tell you, one of the most beneficial things, if you're on the inside, will be information. Getting information on what's happening inside and leaking it to the public. All this, we've been talking about all this trans filth they're doing to kids. You didn't have any idea about that. I didn't have any idea about that until guys like Christopher Russo and Libs of TikTok and these other outlets out there dug in, got the videos they have of them doing all this stuff and exposed this stuff. Remember, every single time this stuff is brought into the sunlight, immediately they're backtracking, they're deleting the web pages, they're lying about things. These people, the communist operates in the dark. From his earliest time in the Soviet Union, from his earliest time in America, back in the 20s and 30s, as soon as he got here, he was writing to his own people about the necessity to hide what we're doing. We have to keep it hidden. We can't let people know. We can't let parents know. We have to keep it hidden. The devil operates in the dark. He operates in deception. Use your possession in there and drag him into the light. Drag him into the light. All right. We're going to have a myocarditis talk and do an email roundup before we do that. I know we haven't talked any finances this show. It's a Friday. I thought it was too dark. Buy some gold, please, to protect yourself. Oxford Gold Group will deliver gold coins to your front door. To your front door. I'm not now, nor will I ever tell you to do anything drastic. Don't do anything you can't afford to do, but do keep in mind. I mean, you do remember what the Fed chairman said, right?
The FOMC raised its policy interest rate by 0.75 percentage point, and we anticipate that ongoing increases will be appropriate.
It's not just that they raised interest rates trying to drive the economy into the ditch. They've announced their intention already. They've already told you they're going to keep doing it. That's how scared they are of hyperinflation. Get some freaking gold in your hands. Oxford Gold will deliver it to your front door. Call 833-995-GOLD and tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. 833-995-GOLD. Oxford Gold Group.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can still email me, though, your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. All those can be emailed to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Remember, there are steps we can take. Part of taking those steps involves putting your money where your morals are. That's hard. In some cases, it's impossible. There are some, they've taken over so many industries. Sometimes to exist here, you have to pay them for it. You don't have to pay them for your cell phone. If you have AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile, you're paying people who hate you and they're trying to wreck you. If you have Pure Talk, you're supporting an American company whose CEO is a veteran and they have their customer service not only based in America, they hire Americans. It's so bizarre. Whenever you have to get a hold of Pure Talk, you speak to someone who actually understands English. It's crazy. They speak English. They understand English. They're pleasant. It's like it's like a weird company now. Oh, and your bill will get slashed. My bill got cut in half. It takes less than 10 minutes. You can keep your phone and keep your number. It's just they talk to you on the phone. They mail you something. Dial pound 250 from your cell phone. Pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll get you an additional month free. And please hear me when I tell you, you need to probably hurry on that one. Dial pound 250, say Jesse Kelly.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails.
We didn't get to.
Oracle, the war on fossil fuels will probably cause people to freeze to death this winter. Do you think this is part of Bill Gates' plan to lower world population by 900 billion? Of course it's part of his plan. It's part of a lot of their plan. Remember, these people, they see themselves as kings and queens, and because they're all anti-human genocidal maniacs, you really could... It's hard to accept that this kind of evil is real. But you could haul Bill Gates in. If he's not on Epstein's Island, you could haul him in and attach him to a lie detector test. And you could ask him probing questions about what he feels about how many people should die. And you would find out that Bill Gates would say billions. It wouldn't feel bad about it. Not only would he say billions, he would be sure that he was the good guy. Of course they're trying to kill billions. This is not new either. From the earliest days of climate change activism, they were always talking about how there are too many people and we simply have to kill a lot of people. You're dealing with demons here. Hi, Junk Food Jesse. Who's your favorite band? I've been trying to guess, but you change it up enough I can't pinpoint only one band. Love your show. You make me smile. Love your hardcore stand on things. I had to laugh at your comment about Brittany Griner and the national anthem. Her name's Karen. I don't have a favorite band. If I had to give you one, it would probably be CCR. But I will tell you, my musical taste, if you were to look through my phone right now, you wouldn't be able to pinpoint what my musical taste is. I have old school country on there. No new country. That's all crap. I have all kinds of classic rock. I have Irish drinking songs on there. I have worship music. I have rap music. I have classical music on there. I have things from the 50s. I have things. I am all over the place. One thing I don't have on there is jazz. Garbage. Dr. J. Steele Miniguns III. I agree with you that sauerkraut is repugnant and coleslaw is disgusting, but I developed a taste for kimchi when I was in Korea. Is there anything you crave from your world travels? Yes, McDonald's. No, I'm not even kidding, Chris. You think I'm kidding? Go to a McDonald's in Japan. The cheeseburger will change your life. Buddy, no, different doesn't describe it. It's like it's a different place. And when I first got to Japan, all the guys who had been there before, they were all, oh, you got to go to McDonald's. You got to go to McDonald's. And I would say the same thing to them. I said, I think we can maybe do better than McDonald's. We're in Japan, right? And they said, you don't understand. It's all different recipes in the different countries. Their beef is like all fresh or something over there. It's one of the best restaurant cheeseburgers I've ever eaten in my entire life. Oh, Chris, it's wild, man. CrossFit champion. You frequently say that you're always carrying. Same here, but I had to go to my local credit union this morning. I left my gun in the truck. There's always a cop inside on duty. You carry in banks too? Says, listen, thank you. His name is Jerome. Listen. I have never, and I would never tell you to ever violate the law in any way. So if you walk up to a bank or something and it has signs on the door and it tells you you're not allowed to carry your weapon in there, you're never, ever, ever, never going to hear me say something to you like, protect yourself. Don't bank on them to protect you. I'm not going to say that. That would be encouraging you to violate the law. I would never do that. I'm not allowed to do that. Even if I was allowed, I wouldn't play games with your freedom and what you do. And I'm definitely, most definitely, not ever going to tell you that unless I've gone through a metal detector, I have a gun on me at all times. Dear Shogun, you talk a lot about adventures and having them. I was wondering what to you qualifies as an adventure. Traveling, military service, or only something dangerous? Doesn't have to be something dangerous. Something that makes you uncomfortable. Something that takes you out of your normal routine, your comfort zone. And look, it doesn't have to be joining the military. Doesn't have to be travel. What, Chris? Would I skydive, Chris? Why would I jump out of a plane that's working fine? No, I will not skydive. You know, I know it's an... I'll tell you this. I'll probably consider skydiving as soon as the kids are out of the house. I just can't bring myself to splatter myself on the ground while my sons are still in the house. Anything that takes you out of your comfort zone. I love these things. When these opportunities come to me, I dive on them because that's the spice of life, man. I'm 41. If I died today, I died with some stories, baby. Oracle. Am I stupid for secretly rooting for Fetterman in this race? Talking about the Pennsylvania Senate race. My rationale is they are both evil, but Fetterman is funny. His sound bites are pure gold. I want more. I don't think you should be rooting for Fetterman because of his sound bites. Now, if you want to go full doom and gloom, and maybe you're there. Look, I've seen smart people make this argument. Maybe you can argue, just start voting all Democrat to bring this whole thing to its knees so we can rebuild. I think that's probably a little dark, and I think that's probably a little dismissive of how much pain bring this thing to its knees brings. But look, you do what you want to do. Dear soon-to-be renowned author, Dr. Jesse, what, Chris, when you become warrior king of the new republic, will you dismantle and disband the tools of the administrative state, scatter them to the winds, or will you turn those tools against the communists to suppress their endless quest for destruction and power? The answer to that question is yes. When I eventually take over the Republic of Jesse, I will take all the tools that are currently in place and I will use them to smash communism in this country and run it from our shores so it never returns. And then I will take that entire administrative state and I will scatter it to the winds so it can never again be used like it's being used right now as a tool to crush you. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can listen to the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe. That'd probably make your life easier, especially since they divided the friggin' show up into 3 hours. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating. And, of course, a review discussing my Adonis-like good looks, Chris. Enjoy your weekend, all right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.